Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in our physical need, but in more particular, Lord, in our spiritual need. And as it has already been prayed, that thy Spirit would be amongst us. Thy Spirit would take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and make them real unto each one of us. We pray that to the degree that thy word is faithfully and accurately preached, to that degree you will bless your word. And to that degree, Lord, that your people in this place will receive it, not as the word of men, but as it is in fact the word of the living God. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to us in the variety of our needs, in the deep hurts and discouragements possibly of our souls. Come and minister unto us. We pray for those who may be deceived, that you would have mercy upon them. Those who lack assurance, that you might minister to them. Those who are going through tremendous physical, spiritual, and emotional trials, O Lord, out of the abundance of your grace, come and meet each one of our needs. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 11, we shall read, but our main consideration shall be 5 through 11, with some particular emphasis on 10, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Excuse me. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the people to whom Peter is writing are basically the same people that he wrote the first letter of Peter, first general epistle, because we know from chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 1, where we read, "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." And so Peter is writing a second epistle to the same people whom in chapter 1 of 1 Peter and verse 1 are described as those who are pilgrims, 1 Peter 1:1, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They are called the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and so on. And so the people to whom he's writing in 2 Peter are the exact same people that he wrote to in 1 Peter. Now the occasion of the writing of this epistle according to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, is that Peter was very close to death. We see that in verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So it seems like Peter was very close to death. He was aware of it. The Lord Jesus had told him and had showed him that shortly he must put off his tent, that is, to leave this life and to immediately go into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this epistle was written to remind people of certain truths, even though they already knew them. We see that in 2 Peter 1, verse 12. Therefore, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. And he says in verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 1 through 3, we read, actually only verse 1, beloved, I write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your mind, your pure minds, by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken. And see, this is a letter of reminding over and over again, Peter says. You know these things, but you need to be reminded. And when he says here that I desire to stir you up, to stir up your pure minds, this word in the New Testament is used for the raising of the dead. I want to stir up your mind in such a way that you become active in your thinking, that your mind will be lively, your understanding, there will be life in your soul and in your experience and your understanding of these things, just like someone who was dead and was brought back to life. And what we have in this second epistle of Peter, basically in chapter 1, we have the whole concept of Christian growth as a holy duty and the diligence that one needs to exercise in it. In chapter 2, we have Peter's caution concerning error, beware of error and false prophets. And in chapter 3, we have basically his teaching on the second coming, some errors concerning the second coming, and the proper preparation for it. Well, notice our text in 2 Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 5. But also for this very reason, verse 5 connects us with what he has said in chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. For this very reason, for what very reason? For the reasons that he has been stating in chapter 1, 1 through 4. He speaks of those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God our Savior, Jesus Christ. He desires that grace and peace will be multiplied to them in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Also for this reason that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Secondly, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we might be partakers of the divine nature. So what Peter seems to be making reference here in verse 5, for this very reason, you've obtained a like precious faith through the righteousness of God, our Savior. You have been given by the divine power of God all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Verse 4, you have been given, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Look at all that you've already received. Look at all that God has done for you. He has given you precious faith through the righteousness of Christ. He has granted to you by his divine power all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given to you exceedingly great and precious promises. For this very reason, of all that I have said in verse 1 through verse 4, you are to do something. Because God has so blessed you, I am calling upon you, he says in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, to your virtue, knowledge. Add to what you've already received. You've already received all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've already received a like precious faith. You have already received all things that pertain in precious promises of the Word of God. Now you are to add to what you already received. And what Peter's calling upon his hearers now, his readers, is for them to do something in the light of what God has done for them. Add to your faith, to the like precious faith, to that faith which is the faith of God's elect. And what we have here is that faith is a foundational, it is the foundational grace of everything that he's going to say. But this word add is very interesting. When he says add to your faith, what he's basically saying is this, and I can do no better than to quote from a Puritan who makes reference to this passage, where he says, now the way of full assurance, and we'll get to that in a moment, is by adding grace to grace. The Greek word, that is here rendered add, has a great emphasis. It signifies to link our graces together, as virgins in a dance to link their hands together. Oh, we must still be adjoining grace to grace. We must still be adding one grace to another. We must still be a leading up the dances of grace. This is taken from the ancient way of dancing in which they joined hands with one another, thereby helping and holding up one another. And what Peter is saying is add to this foundational grace of faith that you have obtained. Add now virtue. Add knowledge. Add self-control. Add perseverance. Add godliness, so on and so forth. There is to be growth in grace. There is to be an addition to what you've already received. And this addition, Peter says, is something that you need to add to, even though we all know, and Peter did not need to be reminded of this, that without the grace of God, they couldn't add anything to their spiritual experience by way of good. They would only add evil and sin. But nevertheless, the emphasis of the text adds upon his hearers. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given you a like precious faith. God has granted you precious promises. Now you are to add to what you've received. And he speaks of faith here as a foundational grace that they have already received. Add to it. You see. And in verse 10 we read, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, ever stumble. You will never stumble. And what basically Peter is saying in verse 10 is that as brethren, you need to make your calling, you need to give diligence to making your calling and your election sure. You need to make sure that you're really called by God, that is effectually called, sovereignly called from eternity past, and actually called in time, really, effectually called by way of repentance and faith and the whole conversion process. You need to make sure that you've been truly called and truly elected, truly chosen. And this text clearly implies that some Christians are not sure of that. Some Christians are not sure of it. Make sure your calling and your election. And what may not be extremely clear in this text, other texts of Scripture are very clear. 1 John 5:13, if John could write to his readers and say, "These things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Here were people who were believers in the name of the Son of God, and yet they did not know that they had the gift of eternal life. Now some of us, who come from evangelical backgrounds may find that very difficult to swallow. For one of the highlights, one of the spiritual accomplishments of evangelical circles, well, I know I was saved on such and such a day, in such and such an hour, by such and such a preacher, and such a hymn. And if you know that, and you're truly converted, bless God for it. But there's some dear choice saints of Christ who never experienced that precious certainty that it is well with their soul. And like one sister told me recently, preaching in another church, "Brother, I never knew. I've always enjoyed assurance. I never knew that there's some of God's choice saints who don't enjoy that blessing. And now I look upon it as a choice blessing, and I want to cultivate and protect us." And praise God, sister. That's what you need to do, for not all of us are blessed with that precious gift of assurance. You see, but Peter goes on to say in verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure." Well, how do you make your calling and your election sure? We go back to verse 5. By adding to what you already received. What have you received? All things that pertain to life and godliness. You've received precious promises. You've received the precious, like precious faith. Now add to that. Add grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And we know it's through the strength of Christ alone. But it does not bypass our responsibility to add grace upon grace upon grace. Peter says, by this way, you will make your calling and your election sure. You see. And notice what Peter says. You are to be diligent about this matter. Be even more diligent. Diligence is very important in this whole matter of seeking to make our calling and our election sure. The book of 1 Peter is full of this diligence. Look at verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge." In chapter 3, verse 14 of the same epistle, we read, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace." There is to be diligent in this whole matter of seeking to ascertain whether I'm truly called, whether I'm truly an elect one of God. Diligent needs to enter in. And I read you one other verse, and there's no need to turn there. But in the book of Hebrews, this whole aspect of diligence enters in the whole area of seeking assurance. Where we read the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence unto the full assurance of hope until the end." You see, diligence is the attitude, the disposition by which we are seeking to cultivate this whole area of assurance. Now, what is diligence? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, there we read, "Moreover, I will be careful." Well, that's the same word. I will be careful. I will be diligent to ensure. So Peter's saying whatever diligence means, it is to be very careful about this matter of making your calling and your election sure. This word is also used in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 16, where there it is translated, "Earnest care." And what Peter is saying is this: brethren, you are to be even more exercising earnest care to make your calling and your election sure. You are to be very diligent, very careful, very earnest in this matter. This is very, very essential, Peter says. Thomas Brooks can say a lazy Christian will always lack four things. Comfort. Now, I'm not sure exactly what he meant to say here. Content or contentment. Confidence and assurance. It might have been a misprint. But a lazy Christian will always lack four things: comfort, contentment, confidence, and assurance. For my Bible says in 2 Peter 1:10, if you are to make your calling and your election sure, you are to be diligent. You are to be earnestly concerned and involved in this whole activity of seeking to ascertain whether you are truly in a state of grace. J.C. Ryle has said there is an inseparable connection between diligence and assurance, you see. So, if a Christian wants to attain to biblical assurance, he has to roll up his sleeves. He has to get busy with physical, spiritual, rather spiritual work, physical in the sense of just getting ready by your desk or sitting still and listening to the preaching of the Word of God. To that end, I mean physical, to get, so that you can give your concentration and your spiritual inner being. In this whole matter of seeking to ascertain, you are to be very diligent in this matter. This matter needs to be very, very important. And to see how much the book of Proverbs talks about diligence, I want to read a couple of verses. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of a sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. There's a soul of the sluggard Christian, who desires assurance, but he has no assurance because he's not willing to be diligent. He's willing to be sluggish and lazy. But the soul of the diligent, the Christian seeking assurance to see if it's well with his soul, he shall be made rich. God may use this whole process because this is one of the means that he's ordained by which assurance may come to us. Now, assurance may come to us in a variety of ways, and there may be reasons why we don't have assurance, but this is one of them. And Peter's saying the Christians need to be spiritually diligent, earnestly caring for this whole matter. And I've met people who want assurance, but many times are not willing to lift a spiritual ounce, and if that's what they lift, a spiritual ounce there and a spiritual ounce there, but they don't really want to get involved in doing a lot of pumping of spiritual ironing, so to speak, to use that type of imagery. They don't want to get out the blood, sweat, and tears of praying, of seeking the Word of God, of being attentive in the preaching of the Word of God, of reading books that deal with the subject. I know a number of people who want assurance, but many of them don't want to take the blood, sweat, and tears. But you say, brother, what is salvation by grace? Yes, it is. All of grace through faith. Jesus did it all. He paid it all. And I'm going to be saved by His grace. But to be saved and to know that you're saved are two different things. And if you want to know that you're saved with certainty, God has to enable you to see the necessity of diligence and earnest care in seeking to ascertain whether you are truly called and truly elected by God. Now you may be saying at this point, I don't have an ounce of problem with assurance. You say, how in the world is this message going to apply to me? Well, if you've been granted that precious gift of assurance, this message will apply to you in the sense that it will be preventive. This is one of the means that God will continually enable you by His grace as you exercise your God-given duty and responsibility in adding grace upon grace to maintain that assurance. So you're not left out either, you see. All right? See, true Christians have little assurance. And the spiritual laziness which hinders assurance. And if a Christian wants to get, and I don't know what Christian doesn't, but I do know Christians who want it and don't want to pay the price for it, those I know. And they're not willing to use spiritual diligence. And in the original language, this is an imperative, that is, it is a command. Be even more diligent. It is a command backed up with all apostolic power and authority. So diligence needs to be the attitude by which a Christian is to make his calling and election sure. Secondly, what will promote Christian assurance is growth in grace. verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. For if ye do these things, it says in verse 10, you will never stumble. If you do what thing? In the context, as I just said, if you add to the foundational grace which has already been given to you, that grace of faith, if you add to that, in other words, what Peter's saying is faith should not be all alone. And it never is in any true Christian, which is the teaching of our confession. Faith is never alone. It always has accompaniment. It always has fellowship with other graces, if you will. Those faith leads the train, but closely behind it is virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness. You see. So there is to be a spiritual addition in the area of growing in grace, which might promote our Christian assurance. We are to give diligence that is spiritually add to what we have already received. Peter could say in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. And as you grow in grace, more and more you will have the fruits of grace. And as you have more and more the fruits of grace, you will have the evidence of grace and you'll have the assurance of grace. And in that context, Jesus will find you in peace and blameless, and you will be ushered into the new heavens and into the new earth, you see. There is to be a spiritual addition to what we have already received. That is how we make our calling and our election sure. For if ye do these things, Peter says, you've got to do it. You've got to add, verse 10, you've got to add to faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge. You've got to do it. God's not going to come down and do it for you. He'll give you the grace to do it, but you've got to do it. Brooks has also said in another place, great measures of grace carry with them the greatest and clearest evidences of the soul's union and communion with Christ. Paul can speak of in Philippians 1:21 being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Being filled. And this whole teaching of spiritual addition that a Christian is to be involved in is the teaching of Scripture. Turn with me to other passages. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, add something to what you already have, tender mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. What is Paul basically saying here? He's what Peter is saying. Add on, put on, add more graces to your Christian experience. Tender mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, so on and so forth. He does the same thing, Paul, that is, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And there, I believe, there is a closer connection with this whole issue of assurance. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate upon these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. See the connection to the adding to the Christian life, to what you already have? There's to be the addition of all these qualities. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, whatever things is praiseworthy, whatever is virtuous, think upon these things. And then the things that you saw and heard in me, do these things, and then the peace of God will be with you. See the connection between the whole area of assurance. Some Christians do not enjoy assurance of their salvation because they do not know how to add that is spiritually. And if they do, they just deal in the little numbers. 1 + 1 and 2 + 2. What we need to add is millions upon trillions in the whole area of adding to the graces that we already have. We need to be filled with fruits of righteousness. We need to abound more and more. The Christian can never be satisfied with the manifestation of grace granted to him by his Savior through his Spirit in his life. He wants more and more grace. As he receives the grace of Christ, he wants that grace manifested throughout his life. And the more grace, the more he adds to what he already has received, this will be a means in the hands of the Holy Spirit by which he will make his calling and his election sure.